Good afternoon. I'm Alina Naylor and you're listening to BBC Radio Derby. It is with immense sadness that I must share with you the news this lunchtime that our friend and colleague Colin Bloomfield passed away peacefully at 7:05 this morning. He was being cared for at the Severn Hospice, near Shrewsbury, where he'd been receiving care for the last fortnight. He was 33 years old. As I'm sure you're aware, Colin was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma in 2013. He was told at the time there was no cure and shockingly poor survival rates. His courage, bravery, frankness and incredible sense of humour in the weeks and months since have both astounded and inspired his family, friends, colleagues, listeners, and fellow football supporters. Colin had worked here at BBC Radio Derby for more than 11 years, and in that time he's been our Derby County commentator, he's reported on countless news stories and presented hundreds of programmes, most recently our breakfast and drive programmes. Radio presenters and radio listeners have a unique relationship. Radio reaches into homes and into cars and gardens and minds. And we know that BBC Radio Derby listeners have taken Colin into their hearts. Over the next couple of hours, we will humbly do our best to play an initial tribute to a quite frankly outstanding young man. We'll hear from the people who knew Colin well, share with you some of the highlights from his career as a broadcaster, and share with you one of his many passions, music. Many of the tracks I've lined up for you over the next couple of hours were favourites of Colin's, the most played items on his iPod. But as we all come to terms with the news of his death, I'll begin with Eva Cassidy's Fields of Gold.
See? when we walked in fields of gold, when we walked in fields of gold, when we walked in fields of gold.
Eva Cassidy with Fields of Gold. It's 12:05 and it's Alina Naylor here on BBC Radio Derby. We've interrupted our normal programming this Saturday to share with you the very, very sad news that our friend and colleague Colin Bloomfield passed away peacefully this morning. He was at 7:05 and he was being cared for at the Severn Hospice near Shrewsbury, where he's been receiving care for just over the last fortnight. Joining me in the studio now is BBC Radio Derby's news and sport editor, Ms. Rachel Gilchrist, who's worked with Colin since his first day here, which was just over 11 years ago. Rachel, Colin, we've known him in so many roles on the airwaves, but what was he like to work with?
Well, you've just said there in your lovely introduction, Alina, he was funny. He was a funny bloke. He was dippy. He was a bit like our younger brother. We always said that, needed taking care of all the time. He was very thoughtful and caring, though, and to me, he was the best broadcaster I've ever worked with. You know, he could go from not knowing, you know, where his shoes were in the morning to interviewing a prime minister and asking the tough questions and being, frankly, just brilliant at it. So someone I've never really come across before. I mean, I do remember his first day here. It was 11 years ago, fresh from Preston University, all keen, you know, many of people who do know him will know he's come from a great broadcasting background. His dad, Laurie, was an editor of a station, and he grew up, all he ever wanted to be was a radio presenter. I do remember that first day, had to do some little package on something local radio do quite often, but he did it brilliantly, and I can remember thinking, gosh, he's going to be good. You know, he went on from, you know, from that, as you say, he did stuff in the newsroom to start off with, countless packages and pieces into the breakfast show, and soon moved on to presenting. He did both our drive time show and latterly the breakfast show, and of course was BBC Radio Derby's commentator and brilliant at that as well. And people who've been listening over the last 18 months since his diagnosis, he's done some fantastic shows on DAB only. He did a show at Christmas called The Day That Changed My Life, which he talked to people, including his own mum, about life-altering experiences, of which he was part of that as well.
Do you know, when he arrived here, I do remember him being massively keen not to hide the fact that his dad was an editor of a local radio station, but very keen to prove his own worth. Yes, he'd had those listening ears and he knew what was good radio, but he could have easily hung on his dad's coattails, and he was determined he would be his own man, move to a different area, and wanted to establish himself, didn't he?
Oh yeah, and his mum will say himself, a very different personality from his dad, who was very much larger than life. He was the editor of a station, he was the manager, he was well known in Pebble Mill in those days. Colin did what he did on his own. He started from going to university and learning his trade, but doing what he did best. And you know, he was picked up as a talent as a presenter here when I think someone went off air. In fact, I think it was Shane
got ill on mid-morning. Yeah, Shane O'Connor
disappeared somewhere, and Colin sort of went, "Oh, hello, Shane's not here, but I am." And it's like straight away, it was like, "Do you know what? He's going to be a great presenter." And
duck
so he
to
was.
Water.
Yeah,
I suppose it was a hugely personal decision for him to share with the audience he was broadcasting to about his diagnosis when it came. Tell us a little bit about the reaction that ensued from him sharing. It is a deeply personal thing. So many people carry those things with them, don't they, and aren't public about it. But he was very conscious to do it publicly.
He was, yeah. I mean, it was very much, as you say, a personal decision. It had to come from Colin. It was certainly nothing that anyone here at the station thought he should do, or, you know, it was something that he felt he had to do. I mean, Radio Derby was a massive part of his life. It was the only place he's really worked at. He was here for 12 years, almost 12 years, as I say. He knew he was going to be having time off. He was, at the time, the breakfast show presenter, you know, our sort of a main flagship programme of the station, and he knew that he wasn't going to be able to carry on doing that without having a bit of time off. And he felt that the listeners who'd followed his career and you know, were constantly in touch with him and calling him deserved to know why he may not be here all the time. and he felt that if it was a journey he was going to battle and battle, he did it. He wanted to do it with the support of the people that, you know, he spent a lot of the time with. So, yeah, that's what he decided to do. And the reaction, as you say, it was just incredible, really. Not that we didn't expect a reaction, because Colin was simply just well-loved by a lot of people. That wasn't because he was ill. That wasn't because he had this dreadful diagnosis at a young age. It was because he was a truly likeable person and he was a great broadcaster. People just took to him. So, you know, when that decision he made to come on air and tell people, quite frankly, in The Breakfast Show, this is the stage, he had skin cancer 10 years ago, but he was told he had the all clear. And he was diagnosed, as you say, with stage 4 melanoma. And he said that quite bluntly on air, but carried on and did The Breakfast Show straight after that as well. Since then, yeah, people have been calling, they've been texting, people have been coming into reception with not just kind words and messages, but also money and a desire to do something. It was, you know, it's a wrong scenario. I know people are ill all the time. This situation is frankly far too common, but people wanted to do something. There was a real swell of feeling and of support. So we did talk to Colin about this, and this is where the Colin Bloomfield Melanoma Appeal came from, because we felt that this feeling that was coming from all the listeners and the people that were supporting Colin deserved for him to have some sort of legacy and something that would go on, you know, after he had gone. And this is what's happening now.
And I know that, if you like, the birth of the Colin Bloomfield Melanoma Appeal and the support and the messages he's had from football fans, from listeners, from friends and family, they have been a great comfort to his mum.
Massively, Alina, yeah. I mean, the clap for Colin, we'll remember, which was almost a year ago now at Wembley in the playoff. That was a year ago. And then more recently, the chanting of "There's only one Colin Bloomfield," that was at a recent match. That just came from people wanting to do something. Now, his mum did know about all this. She asked me how she was going to get it online so she could listen. And listen, she did. She's had individual letters from listeners of Radio Derby addressed to her personally, which has really touched her. And she is hugely thankful of all this for support, because she's grateful that so many people thought what she did, that basically her son was a remarkable young man.
Rachel, for now, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Rachel Gilchrist, BBC Radio Derby's news and sport editor, who's worked with Colin Bloomfield since he started here 11 and a half years ago. You're with Alina Naylor on BBC Radio Derby, and if you're just joining us, you probably gathered by now we're sharing the very sad news this lunchtime that Colin Bloomfield passed away this morning. It was peacefully, 7:05, in the hospice near Shrewsbury where he was being cared for. He'd been in the hospice for the last 2.5 weeks. He was 33 years old. Thank you already for your messages and your tributes to Colin. If you feel you'd like to get in contact, by all means, pick up the phone and give us a call. We're on 01332 616 161. If you prefer to text, and already the text messages have come in, 81333 is our text number, but you do need to start your message with the word Derby. You can, of course, use social media to contact us, and BBC Radio Derby's Facebook and Twitter feeds are at your disposal as well. If it would be easier, you can email radio.derby@bbc.co.uk or drop me an email, alina.naylor@bbc.co.uk. Just let me share a couple of the messages that have come through. "We will miss him immensely with sadness. What a fine young man," says Derek in Derby. "Devastating news about our lovely Colin. Loved the man." Sylvia in Ripley. Dave in Belper has simply texted, "So very sad. Always in our minds and hearts." I'll share more of your messages over the next couple of hours. And although we've interrupted our normal programming, as I'm sure you appreciate, seemed the appropriate thing to do this lunchtime, Sports Scene will be here at 2 o'clock. Ed Dawes and Craig Ramage will be at the commentary box for Millwall's game against Derby. And Burton are, of course, at home to Northampton today, hoping to secure the title. Coverage of that game will be on our 11:16 a.m. service. Sports Scene on air this afternoon from 2 with Owen Bradley. Thank you. The love theme from Midnight Express on BBC Radio Derby. Afternoon, 18 minutes past midday, and I know that people will be joining us throughout the duration of this programme. It's a great tradition, isn't it? Saturday afternoons on BBC Radio Derby, particularly during the football season. But we've interrupted our usual Saturday lunchtime show with Ed Stagg because I've come in to share the very sad news today that we have lost our friend and colleague, Colin Bloomfield. He passed away this morning and he was at a hospice in Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury, in case you didn't know, is Colin's hometown, if you like. It's where his mother and late father lived, and it's where he returned to get his washing done. And it's where he naturally returned to when he needed respite during his treatment and, of course, latterly for specialist care in the local hospice. We are sharing with you the initial tribute that we're able to get together today. And of course, you'll understand that people are just hearing the news for the first time. But we'll be hearing from them, some of those people who've worked with Colin, who've laughed with Colin, who've admired Colin and really thought of him as a friend, maybe a friend that just comes through the radio, which is becoming very clear in your increasing text messages this lunchtime. Let's catch up with Patricia, because she's in Derby. And Patricia, you're with us this lunchtime because not only did you hear Colin on the air, but you used to see him at the gym.
Yes, that's right, at the Virgin Gym.
He was a devotee gym goer, and they've often said, actually, he's managed to deal with the different treatments, some of them very harsh, that they threw at him to help prolong his life.
Yes, he used to talk about he was such a lovely, lovely man.
And he was very devoted to the gym as well, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, such so sad news for his family, his friends. I feel so upset. I feel as though he's part of my family.
How will you remember him, Patricia?
Well, I've sat with him at the gym speaking and having a bit of a laugh. I saw him last time about 7 weeks ago, just coming out the gym as I was going in. I just said, "How are you, Colin?" He said, "Not too bad."
He always kept such positivity yeah. through his treatment, didn't he?
Yeah, and I remember him from the Carol Services, Radio Derby Carol Services. Saw him last year.
He was a keen supporter of all the events we did on station. I have yeah. to say, I made the mistake 1 year of sitting next to him in the Carol Service. Colin was not one of life's natural singers.
No,
let's
I know.
Let's put it that way. He wouldn't mind me saying it, but my word.
I think I sat behind you. Are you Elena?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we sat behind you and your family.
Yeah, we'd have some mickey taken, I tell you, when he was singing. Patricia, lovely to speak to you. Let me welcome onto the airwaves a man who needs no introduction for you this lunchtime. That's Phil Trow, our former breakfast presenter. Phil, it's good to speak to you on such a sad day, and I know you're coming to terms with the news as well, but just to explain, because Colin wasn't just a colleague, was he, for you? He had a real friendship.
Yeah, I actually lived with him whilst I was working at Radio Derby, and it's funny actually, you just saying there about him taking his laundry home, because I think it's fair to say, because you had warned me actually before I moved in with him, and you said, "Look, Phil, just prepare yourself for what you see when you walk through the front door." And I don't think anything could have prepared me. I had to go to the local cleaning store and just buy everything that Colin didn't have in his cupboards. And I think it's fair to say that he wasn't one of life's DIYers, was he?
No, Yeah, that's one thing you could say.
But that's what
Colin
endeared him to him. Funny enough, one of the final times that I saw him a few weeks ago in Derby, he said, "Oh, it's true. Can you come back to my house?" And I was thinking, "Oh, that'd be nice. You know, he's inviting me back for a brew or something sweet." I said, "Why, Colin?" He said, "I need you to put a mirror up for me."
Oh, please.
And that was Colin all over, really, wasn't it?
Do you know, it is. And as Rachel said, dippy is one of the words she used. She could be dippy putting an odd shoe on coming into work, and then he'd interview the Prime Minister and hold him to task that afternoon. But I suppose as a broadcaster, how would you look on Colin's career? Because my word, once behind that microphone, there was nothing like him, was there?
Well, do you know, the very first time that I met him was, strangely enough, at Bloomfield Road. He was covering a Derby-Blackpool game, and of course I'm a Blackpool fan, and I'd just been asked would I fill in for him for a couple of weeks, and so I said, oh, well, I'll get the chance to see him, and we spoke, and he said, well, look, I'm going to be at the Blackpool game, do you fancy coming along and we'll have a chat about the programme? So I met him there, and I remember Roger Davis was sat next to him, and I wandered over at the end of the game, and I said, is that Colin? And he said, yeah. And I then listened for 10 minutes whilst he did the end of a sports scene programme. And I just remember thinking, oh, my goodness, how good is this man on air?
And so how right young did he look? Yeah.
So natural. I thought, I'm in trouble here. I've got to try and follow him up. But do you know, the funny thing is, and I often said this to him, I think he was probably one of the best local radio presenters that I've ever heard. He just had got such a natural ability. And he would sit in the office, and I'm a lazy beggar, I could never be bothered doing something like this, but he would put together, say, one of the montages for his programme, and he'd spend like 3 hours doing it, and it would just be a beautifully crafted piece of radio that maybe people listening would never really appreciate. But I think when you're in the industry, it's just something that you think, wow, this guy just had, and I suppose, you know, growing up with Laurie, his dad, who was, as you mentioned earlier, editor of Radio Shropshire, he just had this real inbuilt sort of love of radio, which clearly came out when you were listening to him.
He naturally had a great ear, didn't he? And
yeah,
he always wanted to discuss what was going on the playlist and what music was going on. And oh, did you hear that Bad Addy on? You know, it could be a national station he'd be listening to. And he'd go, he had an analytical ear for radio, didn't he?
And you know, recently, about 3 months ago, as you probably know, when I left Radio Derby, I moved to Radio Manchester. And I moved to the breakfast show. And at the time, Colin was struggling sleeping, so he was up early in the morning. I used to get a review of how he thought the breakfast show was going from him, sort of on a daily basis. He'd text me, say, oh, I really like that, or, oh, why don't you do that slightly different? So even, you know, sadly, in the last few months, he was still analysing and still critiquing. But, you know, you appreciate that, don't you, so much as a colleague?
Absolutely, when you respect an opinion like Colin's.
Yeah.
Phil, I know you were with Colin when we were at the playoffs last year down at Wembley, and that entire stadium erupted in that minute's applause. What was that like, being with him?
Well, I mean, funny enough, I think the thing that endeared me to Colin was he was always my kindred spirit. You know, we love cheesy music. We've just got this daft sense of humour. And I'm amazed we were never separated at Radio Derby meetings, because we were like the giggling schoolboys sat at the back of the class. And that's exactly what we were like on that day. And we were watching as the clock was ticking. I think it was the 32nd minute, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. The Derby fans applauded. And we were just in hysterics. It was, you know, it was almost like we were drunk, just because we thought, oh, is it going to happen? And then we were coming up with these contingency plans if it didn't. And I said, well, I'm going to start clapping and see if anybody joins in. And I remember just before the 32nd minute, Derby had got a corner, and we were both saying, what do if they score at this point? Because obviously then everybody is going to be in rapturous applause and they're going to forget the moment. And when the ball went over the bar, I remember every Derby fan had their head in their hands. Me and Colin looked at each other with absolute relief at the fact that the ball had gone over the bar. Mm. And then it just passed the 32nd minute, and he was convinced no one was going to do it. I have to say, he was absolutely convinced that nobody was going to applaud. And then, of course, you know, just this deafening sea of applause from the Derby fans. And, you know, I know it was so appreciated by him. He was really, really moved and touched that actually people did that for him. And it was just, you know, a really, really lovely moment to be sat next to him at that time.
Phil, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Alina.
Lovely to speak to you. And as you know, having spent years commentating and reporting on football for BBC Radio Derby, fans of both Derby County and Burton Albion showed their support for Colin in their 2014 playoff finals at Wembley. It all actually happened on the 31st minute of each game. I don't think I'm going to upset anybody too much here by saying the guy who came up with the idea had gone for the 31st minute, thinking that Colin was 31. But actually, by the time we'd reached the playoff finals, Colin had turned 32. But Colin didn't want to cause a fuss and was quite happy for it to happen in whatever minute it was going to occur. So back in the playoff finals in May last year, this is what happened during the 31st minute and Colin's thoughts of that moment.
This is absolutely incredible. I'm in the Derby County Supporters End at Wembley Stadium, and there are people all around me who are now on their feet, and they are all applauding. I actually didn't think this would happen, if I'm honest. I thought people would get so embroiled in the game that they wouldn't do it, but I've got people around me now, Derby supporters, and because I work on the radio, nobody really knows my face, so they don't actually know it's me. But we're all still watching the game anyway, and a shot's just come in from the edge of the box from Will Hughes, which is just over the bar. Wouldn't that have been an amazing moment for Hughes to score after 31 minutes? But honestly, I can not describe my emotions right now, really. Thank you so much to everybody at Derby County. Thank you so much to the supporters. This means so much. And the first person who's coming into my head is my dad, actually, who died a couple of weeks ago. And I just wish he were here to see it. But what a moment. It's still 0-0. There have been so few chances so far. It's been a really cagey, tight game. But, wow, what a moment that was for me. And, as I say, it just means so, so much. So, thank you.
Colin Bloomfield, bearing witness to those thousands and thousands of fans at Wembley. Couldn't help himself doing a bit of commentary, could he? Just fell into it. This is Spandau Ballet with True.
So true, funny how it seems, always in time, but never in line.
Spandau Ballet and True on BBC Radio Derby. A very good afternoon to you. If you're just joining us, it's Alina instead of Ed Stagg. We've interrupted our normal programmes on a day of great sadness for, well, all the team here at BBC Radio Derby, but for our thousands and thousands of listeners as well. As we've shared with you the news this lunchtime that our colleague Colin Bloomfield passed away this morning. You'll know that back in July 2013 he was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma, and at the time of that diagnosis, Colin knew it was going to be a terminal illness. He knew there was no cure. He did know that they would do everything to extend his life for as long as they possibly could. His attitude and his frankness about his diagnosis in the intervening weeks and months have inspired and astounded so many people, to the point that actually, I don't think a lot of people latterly realised how grave and serious his health was affected by it. But it is with immense sadness that we bring you the news this lunchtime and are just coming to terms with it and giving you a chance to share your thoughts and pay tribute and speak to some of the people who knew Colin, have worked with him through the years, and also shared some music that we know are his favourites. And he was always known for... Do you want to... Quick game of guess the intro. When iPods were first in, come up to you and we go, come on, let me play 3 seconds of this. See if you know what it is. See if you know what it is. He knew every time. He didn't need to look at the track listing. Let me just share some of the text messages we've received. Carol in Alverston, I'm texting this message with tears in my eyes. So very sorry to hear that Colin has passed away. My heart goes out to his mum. Condolences to Colin Bloomfield's family. And all at Radio Derby will miss his cheerful voice and such an encourager. So brave, so dignified, so honest, so young. You will be sadly missed, Colin. Rest in peace. That comes from Karen in Derby. Meanwhile, Jean in Michalova texts to say how very sad the news of Colin's loss. What a very special, brave, far too young to die young man with a big heart, always ready to think of others. I will never forget him or his dear mum. My heart goes out to her. What can we do for her now? Lots and lots of love go out to you. So many. I'm getting a little overwhelmed with all that we've got to get through. But Denise in South Normanton, such heartbreaking news. Colin will be missed so much. Our thoughts go out to his friends and family. Such sad news about Colin Bloomfield. He was such a lovely man, says Elaine. Our thoughts with his mum and everyone at Radio Derby, Elaine and family in Alverston. Absolutely shocked at the news, says Ed. Condolences to his friends and family, a great man who did a lot for Derby on air and off. Let's win the game for him today. There's only one Colin Bloomfield. Fly high and rest in peace. Well, waiting to chat to me on the phone is Mike. Mike joins us because, Mike, I understand it, your band ended up appearing on the radio with Colin. Just explain the circumstances.
Yeah, hello. What a sad day. Yeah, last year I came in with the legend Mark Stallard because our band had written a World Cup song. A few months later, we came in again for another interview, and we brought in one of the band members dressed up as an old lady that's in the video, and he didn't know what he didn't know what to make of it. It cheered him up no end, I think. It's such a sad day. I can't believe it. Beside myself. But yeah, I think he relished the interview. Mm. It's such a sad day.
I bet he put you at ease, didn't he? Performing on the radio is a tricky task. And one of the things that people always said was, if you were nervous about going on the radio, Colin would... He's just natural control and calmness over the situation.
Oh, yeah.
Relax people down.
Oh, it was just brilliant. I mean, so professional. There's just nobody like him. I mean, the bright light's gone out on the planet today. It really has. I don't know what to say. But, yeah, I thank him for the opportunity of coming on and, letting us on the show a couple of times. And unfortunately, England let us down. We came on Sally Pepper's show as well. Near the time. So.
Mike, good to speak to you this lunchtime. Let's have a word as well with Gwen in West Hallam. Gwen, you're a big Colin fan, a devoted listener.
Yes, all my family were as well. And my first thought this morning when I heard about Colin dying was my prayers for his mother. Mm-hmm. Because she must be going through a very bad time. And then secondly, I thought, I'm 90 and Colin was 33. And I thought, it really isn't fair. But then God moves in mysterious ways. So I just want to say thank you to Colin for all the hours of pleasure that he gave us. And my prayers and all my family will be praying for his mother.
Gwen, thank you very much indeed. And we'll make sure that his mum knows that she's in the thoughts of not just Gwen's prayers, but so many people today. With me in the studio is our colleague, Andy Potter. Andy, you're not meant to be here today, but like
you've
so many...
You've got to be in. You've got to come in.
Yeah.
Got the news. We just left in limbo at that point about, well, Colin's gone. Those conversations that you had with Colin, we will fight through anything. Lots of people have said, you know, he knew what he was going through, but he would still come into work. And you would go up to Colin and say, take it easy. Have a rest. No, I'll be all right. I'll get through it. I'm just a bit tired, is what you would get. He would just brush it to one side and get on with the job. And I did an interview with him just after the melanoma appeal was launched, and we did his first, last and everything, and I've listened back to that, and it's a very, very difficult listen now. We did it live at the time, and he went out on the radio, and he talks, as always, so frankly about his life and his parents and what he's gone through and all of those sort of things. And then you really sit down and analyse it, and you think, I don't think I could have vocalised it the way that he has, and the dignity that is shown all the way through. And the other side, while we're remembering Colin and remembering the great things that he did, let's not forget the Colin Bloomfield that liked to photobomb celebrities as
well,
shall we?
Oh, my word, yeah.
Because any celebrity that came into this building, he wanted a photo.
Do you know what? Any celebrity he encountered at a football game, at a concert, at a festival... Colin somehow charmed his way in there, had his arm draped round them, and he got the photo taken, didn't he?
There is a story about the Sony Radio Awards a couple of years ago when he was down there chasing Fern Cotton down a corridor just to get a photograph with him. But that's what he was. He was the consummate professional, and as we've already said, would interview in depth any prime minister, politician, anything like that. But he was also the fan. He was also the person that didn't lose that sort of spark that said, you're famous. Oh, I've seen you on the TV. I want to go and have a photograph with you and talk about those things and talk about Neighbours with Dr. Cole and all of those sort of things. That's what Colin was. And that doesn't come along very often. We're not spouting things just for the sake of what is going off here. Colin Bloomfield is an inspiration. One of the things that he said to me was he didn't want to be known as that radio presenter who got cancer.
Mm.
And Colin, you're not. And that's why I'm here today.
We'll be sharing some more of highlights from Colin's broadcasting careers, those tough, tough interviews with a politician, and those incredible moments of clarity when with just a few words he could get to the nub of an interview, reach into the heart of somebody and bring a story out from them. Now, we've just touched upon Colin's passion, shall we say, for anybody that was slightly famous in the public light. And I don't think it'll hurt too much for me to say one of Colin's proudest boasts was having the mobile phone number of a member of the world's currently biggest boy band, One Direction, in his phone. Yes, Niall Horan, who is part of One Direction and also just happens to be an ardent Derby County fan, which is how Colin got to know him and they built up a relationship, meant that Colin likewise supported One Direction. So let's hear some of their music. This is Night Changes.
Going out tonight changes into something red. Her mother doesn't like that kind of dress. Everything she never had, she's showing off. Driving too fast, moon is breaking through her hair. She's heading for something that she won't forget. Having no regrets is all that she really wants. Me and you.
One Direction and Night Changes on BBC Radio Derby. Lots of the music I'm sharing with you this lunchtime features on the most played tracks on Colin Bloomfield's iPad and iPod, and we're sharing them this lunchtime because news reached us this morning from his mum that Colin passed away at 7:05. He'd been in his local hospice in Shrewsbury for the last 2.5 weeks. You are probably well aware that back in July 2013 he was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma and was incredibly open with listeners and friends and family alike about his diagnosis, his subsequent very varied and some very challenging treatments that Colin went through to extend his life. He was always very realistic that it was a terminal illness, but we all hoped against hope that this day wouldn't come quite so soon at 33 years old. It's 11 minutes to 1 o'clock. It's a Saturday, and although we've interrupted our usual programmes to pay a brief tribute to Colin this lunchtime, we will continue with Sports Scene as normal this afternoon. Derby are hanging on to their place in the Championship playoffs. They want to secure that top six finish with a win at Millwall today. Ed Dawes and Craig Ramage are providing the commentary from three on that one. Meanwhile, Burton have secured their promotion to League One, but they're just hoping they could wrap up the Championship title this weekend. They're at home to Northampton this afternoon. Joe Shannon and Tony Bentley at the mic for you on that on 11:16 a.m. Sports Scene will follow this programme at 2 o'clock this afternoon with Owen Bradley. But let's catch up with someone else from the world of sport to actually knew Colin as a young whippersnapper, if you like. And that's Juliet Farrington, sports reporter for 5 Live. Juliet, thank you for being with us, because like the rest of us, it's news that's reached us only in the last couple of hours. But you do remember Colin in his infancy, don't you?
Oh, I remember Colin growing up, and it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you about him. I've also been contacting many of my colleagues who will be working this afternoon on 5 Live Sport and who also knew Colin extremely well from seeing him at various press conferences and various press boxes at football matches up and down the country. But I can remember Colin. I used to work at BBC Radio Shropshire. I'm from Shrewsbury. And I, first of all, I remember Colin's father, who sadly passed away last year, and he was station editor at the time, and there was a young lad called Colin, and you could just tell he was going to be destined for something really, really good in the world of radio, whether it be local radio, national radio. It was all he ever wanted to do. And at a weekend, that was my job. I was just there as a technical operator in the, you know, as the junior, working my way through the radio ranks. And Colin would come in on a Sunday afternoon, and he would be about 8, 9, 10 maybe. And he would just bounce in like Tigger, and he automatically knew which cubicle we had studios in. I'm sure you know we had cubicles 1A and 1B. He would know every Sunday I would be in 1B. I didn't even have to, you know, go and let him in through the front door. He would bounce into the studio. Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I play the news fader in? Can I play the jingle in? Can I play that record? It was just like, oh my goodness me, what, this is Sunday. He absolutely loved radio from such an early age, and you could just tell there was only one way Colin was going to go in his career, and to produce and to commentate like he's done on Radio Derby, and to present and to interview. In radio, in any top form of broadcasting, you usually have a sort of strict rule. You're going to either work in production or editorial, or you're going to present, or you're going to report, you're going to be on air, you're going to be talent. To do all those things that he has managed to do in such a short space of time, and also fight the disease, the illness that he had, with such bravery and such courage, just shows what a true talent. And I know 33 is really old, but he has absolutely jam-packed everything into that short space of time.
Absolutely did, Juliet. Thank you. Lovely to have you with us. And I suppose as a Shropshire girl, you'll be keeping one eye on Shrewsbury this afternoon. I mean, the irony is, it could all be decided today.
It could all be decided. And the other thing, now looking at it, the other thing that Colin would speak about, and can I just mention, there was the playoff finals last year at Derby, and there were the playoff finals that Burton were involved in as well at Wembley Stadium, and the applause, the appreciation, the applause that rung out in the 32 minutes it would have been back then, obviously reflecting his age. The whole stadium united, and I was at that championship game on Good Friday for the Derby game against Brentford. Or was it Good Friday? No, satellite. It was on a Saturday. It was a couple of weeks ago, because I was also at Derby on Good Friday as well. They chanted his name again, yes, in the 33rd minute. And it just goes to show that people, you didn't have to listen to Radio Derby to know about Colin Bloomfield. He touched everybody with his bravery and his courage and his fight, and the way he was on social media as well. He was not going to let this ruin what he wanted to try and do in that short space of time. But yes, Shrewsbury Town, he would go on about Shrewsbury Town. He wanted to see them promoted. That's all he wanted. Massive Shrewsbury Town fan. And today may be the day that Shrewsbury Town are promoted into League One.
Oh, let's hope so. Juliet, thank you so much for being with us. You'll appreciate that Juliet there joining us live from the Britannia Stadium, where she's out for the Stoke game today, but paying tribute to a young Colin Bloomfield that used to go into Radio Shropshire, where she was based as well. Keep your messages coming in. I'm trying to get through as many as I can. John in Alverston: met Colin at Burton Albion's playoff final last year at Wembley. A real upbeat guy. So sorry he's no longer with us. This is sad news, says Andrew in Alverston. Colin was a good guy, and he'll be missed by all Radio Derby listeners and Rams fans. Thank you so much for all your messages. It's 81333 on the text. Start your message with the word Derby to get in contact. I just got back and heard the news, goodness me, so sad. Tears are flooding my eyes. He was such a lovely, lovely man. It is going to be so sadly missed. He held my hand in my interview. He's such a kind man. Love to his mum. What a sad day. It's from Kelly, who's dropped a text. So obviously interviewed by Colin at some point. So sad to hear this news, says Ian and Deborah in Codner. Colin was the most inspirational and bravest man we have ever had the pleasure to meet. Our thoughts are with all at Radio Derby and Colin's mum. Rest in peace, Colin. You will never be forgotten. Richard just says, God bless, Colin. Rest in peace. I have no memories, says Brenda in Darley Abbey, of Colin, except happy ones and sport. Cannot believe the sad news, but he will live in our memories forever. From Brenda in Darley Abbey. And Dave says, Colin will remember his perfect radio voice and mannerisms. Condolences to all who knew him. BBC Radio Derby's Facebook page has also been a focus for people to, well, pay their tributes and share their grief. And we'll be sharing some of the messages from our Facebook page very shortly indeed. You're with Alina, and we're going to have the news as usual at 1 o'clock. But before then, Alicia Keys with Empire State of Mind, another one of Colin's favourites.